Chapter 9. In spite of getting very little sleep, I was up early the next morning. My purpose was to slip out the door and go to the edge of the woods where I had seen the Watcher last night. Maybe I could find a trace of him if the snow hadn't covered everything. At the moment, the sun was shining and my mother's yard sparkled with a million icy jewels. Mom was already up when I came downstairs. She was sitting at her old wood dining table, the sheepskin open, and the gun and my interpretation of the Bible record in front of her. "Coffee's in the pot, Darcy," she said, hardly looking up. The steaming cup of amber liquid warmed me all the way down as I swallowed it. I sat down across from her. "Since the gun and certificate can't talk, Mom, I don't see how staring at them is going to help." "I just don't know what else to do," she sighed and pushed them away. "What plans have you made for the day?" As quickly as I could, I wanted to go look at the spot in the woods where I had seen the lurking figure. I delayed answering her question. Mom had enough to think about without adding that suspicious figure to her worries. It seemed to me that new lines had spread across her forehead overnight. I took a second sip of coffee. "It's a wonderful, brisk morning for a walk. I didn't sleep well, and maybe some fresh air will clear my mind." "If it works, let me know and I'll do the same. I didn't sleep much either. I just don't know when I've been so puzzled. Cub didn't do us any favors by sticking his nose in that old well. While you are out walking, I'm going to the attic and hunt for a book I put up there a few years ago. Don't know how I ever came to have it, but I think it's called Farm Life for Boys or something like that. It's an old book. Maybe it's in a box of Mom's things. Anyway, I thought it might give me some ideas on what to include in Ben's school. At least that school is something positive I can get my mind on. I want to go out before long and have a look at how it's progressing."
"Good idea. When you get ready, I'll go with you."
I finished my coffee and went to the hall closet for my coat. "When you're ready for breakfast, I'll do the honors this time. How does bacon and French toast sound to you?"
"Perfect," she said.
As I went out the back door, she headed for the stairs. A redbird sang his cheer-up song in the oak by the front gate. A hawk circled over the woods, doubtless hoping he would see an unwary rabbit outlined against the snow. The out-of-doors was sunny, brisk, and still. This beautiful, shining morning was in stark contrast to the dark, jumbled thoughts chasing themselves around in my mind. I walked along the edge of the woods with my head down, my eyes searching the ground. Sure enough, at the tree line, the snow looked scuffed and trampled down. One or two actual footprints still showed, the indentations only partially filled with snow. These were the footprints of a man who wore cowboy boots and had rather large feet. That narrowed my suspects down to about 90% of the male population of Ventress County. At least I saw no spent cartridge shells. After all, just standing in our woods was not a high crime. True, he had been trespassing, but our fence was pretty much non-existent in places. Anyway, I had proved to myself that my eyes had not been playing tricks. Somebody had been out in the snow looking at our house last night. How long had he stood there? Was he planning a break-in? Was he actually someone who was concerned and trying to watch out for danger? Last night had been cold and hardly a good night for just standing around for the fun of it. Although the trampled snow confirmed what I saw from my bedroom window, it didn't give any answers as to who had been there or why. Surely I could think more clearly after several cups of strong black coffee and the breakfast I had promised to make. Mom met me at the kitchen door, her eyes sparkling.
"Darcy, you'll never guess what I found when I was rummaging through the attic."
I stomped snow from my feet and shrugged out of my coat. "Whatever it was, I'm glad to see you're happy about it." She held up a notebook with a brown, faded cover.
"A journal. It's my mother's journal, and Darcy, look at the date on the front. 1918. Just think what this might mean. Maybe we'll find some answers to our puzzle." Wow, where did you find it, Mom?
It was in the same box as the book on farm life. When Mom died, I brought all her things over and put them in the attic without looking through many of them. I think this box had been pushed back under her bed, and I brought it out here and stored it without even opening it. I clean forgot all about it. It was under a bunch of other boxes, and I haven't read it yet. I guess I'm afraid to.
Well, give it to me. I'm not afraid to read it.
I took the journal, but before I could sit down, the doorbell pealed. Pretty early for a visitor, I muttered as I followed my mother to the front door. On the porch stood Eileen Simmons, furry hat pulled over her black hair and her coat collar turned up to her ears. She carried a large manila envelope in her gloved hands.
Darcy, Miss Tucker, you don't know me, but I'm Eileen Simmons. I saw you in Grant's office. We need to talk. May I come in?
Mom found her voice before I did.
Of course, Miss Simmons, come inside.
This was the woman who had been so glad to see Grant. Why would she want to talk to us? I closed the door behind her. Mom motioned toward the sofa.
Won't you sit down?
Eileen pulled off her cap and unbuttoned her coat. Her hands trembled, whether with nerves or the cold. She handed me the envelope.
I won't stay long. In fact, you probably won't want me to. I don't know how much you know about your grandmother, Darcy, but I've found out a few things that I think you should know.
Mom's eyes narrowed. You found out some things about my mother? I'm not sure I like the way you said that.
I'm sorry, Miss Tucker, I should have said it different. The thing is, that's just my way. I blurt out stuff, and I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings.
Mom sat on the edge of the sofa, turned sideways toward Eileen, her arms folded across her chest. I pulled some pages from the envelope Eileen had given me. She had evidently copied them from a genealogical site. I glanced through and saw the name Markham Caldfell, then Grace Wolfe, and the fact that they were married in Siloam, Arkansas, and lived in Ventress County, Oklahoma. I looked at the second document. It was a copy of a land description, a familiar land description. I felt as if someone had punched me in the stomach. Eileen watched me, her face pale under the heavy makeup. Mom fidgeted on the sofa.
Well, what is it, Darcy? Why are you looking like that?
Dimly, I heard a cup clatter in the kitchen. Jethro must have been making the most of our absence to hop up on the table in a search for food. My legs suddenly would not hold me up. I plopped down beside Mom.
Are you into tracing your ancestors, Eileen?
She nodded and tried to smile.
Yes, yes I am. We almost share a common ancestor, Darcy. You see, Markham Caldfell was my great-grandfather.
Markham Caldfell is no ancestor of mine, I muttered. My mother had taken the papers from my hand and was reading them.
This old deed says that Markham Caldfell owned some land here in Ventress County before he married my mother. And from the looks of this land description, I'd say that is my land that Darcy and I are building our house on.
Eileen nodded.
Yes, that's right. And as his direct descendant and the only living child of my mother, I think that land is rightfully mine.
She twisted her hands together, the knuckles showing white. Slowly, Mom stood.
How can you be a descendant of this Caldfell person?
Way back before he met your mother, Miss Tucker, he got acquainted with my great-grandmother. Her nervous giggle startled me.
I guess it was what you might call a close relationship.
It didn't last, but my grandmother was the result. I'm old Markham's descendant, all right, and I can prove that land you've claimed all these years is mine.
Prove it, my eye.
I stood up beside my mother. I wanted this woman out of my sight. How dare she barge into our home and say these ridiculous things? I think this conversation is over. I stalked to the door, held it open, and waited for her to leave. She stood up.
You'll be hearing from me, Darcy, Ms. Tucker. I think any court in the land will see that the land you've claimed for years is rightfully mine, so get used to it.
I locked the door behind her. and glanced at Mom. She shook her head.
This Eileen person, where on earth did she come from, and why did she materialize just now? I just don't believe a word she said.
Mom might not believe Eileen's story, but I did. It had the ring of truth about it. What it meant, and why it was all suddenly coming to light, I had no idea. I trailed behind her, back to the kitchen.
Maybe my mother's journal will clear up some things, Mom said, heading for the dining table. Where is it? It was here just a minute ago.
The dining table was bare except for our two empty coffee cups and the copy of the Bible record. The gun and the 1918 journal had disappeared. I pointed at the kitchen door. It stood partially open. The noise I had heard had not been Jethro. My voice sounded hoarse in my ears. Someone has been here, Mom. While we were talking to Eileen, someone came through the back door and stole the gun and the journal. The morning sunshine appeared to take on a brassy tinge. I had the feeling that I had stepped into another dimension. What was happening here? Who was the intruder and thief? Who would want an ancient gun and a journal written many years ago? It was time to call Grant. These things were happening too fast. They were out of my realm. Since he was the law enforcement person in Ventress County and knew Eileen, maybe he would know what to do. I ran to the telephone.